Halloween. You are listening to the 4 o'clock repartee with Brett, Kate, and Eric on a Thursday afternoon. You dressing up at all for Halloween in there, Eric, besides the tracksuit?
No. This is kind of my normal outfit.
Yeah, just the tracksuit's the costume, yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of with you, yeah. I haven't really dressed up for anything in years, so yeah, I guess I'm a little beyond that age. I still have a couple of friends that still do cosplay, so I think cosplay kind of gives you an excuse on Halloween to look like everyone else, but
sure.
I never got into that whatsoever. By the way, are you going to be handing out Halloween candy tonight with the...
You know, no one ever comes to my house. It's in like a residential neighborhood. Yeah. There's kids around. People in Lakeville just don't trick-or-treat or something. I'm not sure what it is.
I am going to point out, in case anyone does come up to your door there, one piece of etiquette since we need to go over this. But if you do get a kid that comes to your door, do not place candy on their head. The reason why I'm bringing this up is that Donald Trump actually did this when he had trick-or-treaters at the White House.
Oh, I saw this.
Yeah, there was a kid who came up in a Minion costume, and Trump was just, for whatever reason, kind of confused on what exactly to do. So he ended up just placing a piece of candy on the kid's head, along with Melania as well. And as the kid's walking away, the candy falls right off his head. So I don't know. He was figuring it out before because he was actually placing the candy in the kid's buckets. But for whatever reason, the Minion kind of threw him off and just decided to place it on his head.
He knew that was like a costume.
Yeah.
He thought that he could feel that.
I want to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he was just doing this to try to have some sort of sense of humor. But then again, I don't think Trump even really has much of a sense of humor. So I don't think it's necessarily that.
Oh, I think he does.
Really?
I think he's actually a pretty funny president.
Yeah, well,
it's just
that
a very strange alien kind of humor.
Yeah. I still don't. I kind of disagree whether he has a sense of humor. He kind of strikes me as being so egotistical that he really doesn't have any sense of at least dry humor, maybe.
Yeah. I remember there was a Conan O'Brien segment where they did like, celebrity secrets or something like this. This is long before he became president.
Mm-hmm.
And they had kind of a behind-the-scenes view of them as they recorded it. And Donald Trump, in the middle of his little segment, just took a glass of water and poured it all over the table. And just, like, completely deadpan. It's like, see, that's funny, right?
Oh,
that's a weird thing to do. That's funny.
If he did that on his own, I actually do give him kind of credit for that.
Which is funny, but didn't fit the tone of it at all. So
it's
just bizarre.
Well, that also is kind of fitting for the Conan O'Brien show back in the 2000s. I used to love watching Late Night with Conan O'Brien, so I could see that kind of fitting in with the format of his show. I got to go back on YouTube and check that out. Or if you're a Conan fan, he finally got all of his clips released from NBC over at TeamCoco.com. Did not think I would be promoting that on today's show, but there is some gold material on TeamCoco.com of some of his early skits he did back in the day with desk driving. He had the bear that was on there. He had Vomiting Kermit among some of the other characters I loved on that show. So I think he was finally able to get the rights back from NBC. So, yeah, there's a treasure trove of material over there, if that's your type of humor. And apparently, the president might have been in that back in the 2000s if he was on that show and actually did that little bit on his own. Of course, it is Halloween. I didn't plan this out enough, but I don't have any Halloween bumper music lined up, which kind of disappoints me because in a previous life when I actually used to do a music show, well, sort of a music show, the station I was at was kind of a combination of music and talk, I was able to go my entire six-hour shift of playing nothing but Halloween music. I actually kind of dug around through the internet and found a number of Halloween-related tracks. Of course, I had the Monster Mash in there, but
too scary for me.
I had, of course, Michael Jackson's Thriller was in there. I had the theme from Nightmare Before Christmas. I had that. Oh, I'm trying to think of some of the other tracks. I was really digging deep, and I was able to actually find all Halloween bumper – or not bumper music at that point. It was full songs, so I was kind of impressed with myself back in, 2011 or 2012. I wish I still had a list because we could have used all that music on today's show, make it a little seasonal. I won't be like McNeil, though, and have Christmas bumper music. That's going to get old, like, after 2 days. So, Matt, don't do that this year. Give you, like, 1 day of Christmas bumper music. There's only so many times you can hear – certain versions of Jingle Bells, Santa Baby. Yeah, that's certainly one of them. Then you have that awful, is it the Paul McCartney song? I can't think. I won't even sing it because it's going to get stuck in my head. But yeah, there's a lot of seasonal tracks that I do not enjoy. But yeah, Halloween, we can do this just for one day. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Here's why I'm giving away the phone number early on in the show today. By the way, we are live for the entire program and taking your phone calls. I've heard this from a number of people who have worked here at AM 950, and they think parts of the station might be haunted physically here in the building. They've had different instances where they've said they've seen like a clock that will fall off from that's being hung on the wall. They've seen like shadows around the station. So my question to you, Eric, I've been always very skeptical about spirits lurking in buildings or places being haunted. Are you a believer in that stuff?
Not at all.
Not at
but
all.
But I understand this is – there's a lot of strange noises that come out of this building.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm.
You hear like 7 p.m. by yourself in the winter. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of – you know, constantly thinking you see shadows running by the windows.
Absolutely, yeah. And this is like a 60, 70-year-old building. It's at least been around since the 60s. Of course, it's gone through many different incarnations of radio stations. This building didn't just get built when we became Liberal Talk Radio back when Janet and Bill founded the station in 2004. Many, many formats prior to that, including a heavy metal format back in the 80s. We actually had one of the former disc jockeys come into the station back when they were doing heavy metal and talking about how they had Ozzy Osbourne. Have an interesting incident in the bathroom upstairs at one point. Had a little trouble finding where the urinal was. Just kind of leave that at that.
It's which not is too huge of a bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, lots of interesting stories. But, yeah, this is an old building, so I'm with you. I could see why you hear little creaks. And if you're here, as you said, especially in the winter when it gets dark early. In fact, December gets really depressing here when my show ends and it's already dark outside. But, yeah, you can definitely hear that stuff. But the part that, yeah, clocks actually falling off the walls. I have not run into that yet here at AM 950. But if you're a believer in that stuff, want to hear maybe your ghost stories from your home or especially your office. Is your place of employment maybe haunted? But I've heard that from a number of people who have worked here over the years, and they are convinced that there are some spirits lurking around here at the AM 950 studios on Valley View Road in Eden Prairie. So love to hear your stories if you have anything about your place of employment being haunted, because that's one you don't often hear about. You can always talk about like a haunted house or maybe a place you used to live that was haunted, but never where you work. Don't really hear that too often in terms of ghost stories. So
most of my big scares here have just been the Mike Lindell cutout.
Oh, for sure. That actually is scary. Yeah. He's enough of a weird guy where he does kind of come off as being not necessarily human, but kind of spiritual. And
yeah, he's like a force of raw energy.
Yeah. Force of. Where is he, by the way, right now?
I think he's in Hunter's office.
Oh, is he still in Hunter's office? Okay, yeah, I have not seen him in quite a few weeks. We were just moving around earlier today, some old equipment, taking it to the tech dump, and I was not able to find him at all because I was thinking he might scare some of the people that were down here trying to remove some of our old electronic gear. But Mike Lindell still lurks on and on. All right, let's move on to the news of today. But again, if you have any stories about being haunted at work, still would love to hear those throughout the program on your Thursday afternoon. I forgot what day Halloween was today. Yes, it is a Thursday. So last night, the Washington Nationals won the World Series, and I'm not going to talk, of course, about baseball at all, because there is one thing I want to talk about with the fact that the Washington Nationals did win the World Series, and that is actually a tweet from Hillary Clinton that she put out as soon as the Nats won the World Series. She says the world champion should get statehood. And actually, I completely agree with her, and I hope this gets highlighted more during the presidential campaign because, just keep in mind, D.C. technically does not have any representation. Statehood proponents point out that D.C. has a greater population than Wyoming and Vermont, but lacks voting members in both the House and the Senate. They have someone who's just there as kind of a ceremonial person in the House of Representatives, but no one who is actually a voting member, and it actually is a very high population area. So there's a couple of reasons why we, of course, need to make D.C. a state. Obviously, of course, it's a state without representation, so that's one reason. But another is that we do have a lot of these really small states like a Wyoming or an Idaho or even a Mississippi that are very low population states, but guess what? They still get two senators, and generally, they always vote Republican. So you have Idaho, you have Montana, you have Wyoming. They have the same number of senators as a state like California, which, by the way, is about 39 times bigger than Idaho, yet they still have the exact same number of senators. Now, earlier this year, I think it was back during the summer, I talked about how, yeah, obviously when the framers made the Constitution, they were talking about how, yeah, they didn't necessarily want to have a complete House of Representatives where everything was based on population. But at that point, when the Constitution was written, the biggest state was only about 19 times bigger than the smallest state. Now that margin has actually increased to 39. So certainly something has to be solved with that, especially since most rural states pretty much always elect Republicans. And one of the solutions I came up with was, among others, having D.C. get granted statehood, because Washington, D.C. would be very likely to elect two Democratic senators, which would help at least sort of balance what's happening in the Senate, because Democrats are at a systemic disadvantage in the Senate. You pretty much have to have a really good election to be able to actually win control of the chamber. I mean, you look back in 2018 where we had the blue wave, but yet Democrats still actually lost a net of two seats last fall, despite actually getting more of the popular vote in those Senate elections. So we're going to continue talking about this in just a second, because I want to relate this to something that happened today with the impeachment vote with Colin Peterson, and then also Joe Manchin making some comments about Bernie Sanders, because I'm going to tie these all back in together in terms of how we can solve what's happening in the Senate in both the short term and the long term. So that'll be on the way next here on the 4 o'clock show on AM 950.
Is your business being pulled under by a tide of constant threats? Hackers, ransomware, security breaches? What if you had people who could navigate you to safe water, then teach you how to swim? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Rimark with a unique offer, a free security assessment. We'll uncover hidden threats, hidden costs, and hidden opportunities to help navigate your business. Call 651-328-8900 or go to RimarkIT.com to schedule your free security assessment.
Back in January 2018, the tax laws changed. You probably won't get a tax deduction for donating your vehicle to Auto Technical or any nonprofit, and it's going to put us out of business. Over the past 30 years, our charitable mission has been reconditioning vehicles for thousands of families. Many vehicles are reconditioned and sold to the public. We are self-supporting, but donations have dropped by more than 80%. We can hold on until November, December, but without your help, we'll be forced to close the doors. The Tubman Shelter Workforce Training Center will no longer be able to refer clients to us for free cars. Please, please help us. Call me if you have a vehicle to donate. Richard@autotech.org, 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526. Autotechnical.org.
At Burger Mo's, Mondays no longer need to be a drag. Dine on the beautiful patio for Burger Monday Madness every Monday after 4 p.m., where you can order any burger and fries off menu for just $6. Not valid on Excel event evenings. Burger Mo's offers 20 fresh, never frozen burger varieties, as well as delicious appetizers, soups, salads, and unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul, with plenty of free parking, and online at burgermo's.com.
Hi, my name is Frank Brown. I'm the owner of Minuteman Press Uptown. We print everything.
How about pull-up banners for trade shows?
We print everything.
Mailers?
We print everything.
Do you print yard signs?
We print everything.
Bulk mail?
We print everything.
Door hangers?
If you got a door to hang it on, we print it.
Wow, I guess you print everything.
So if you need something, anything printed, bring it to Minuteman Press Uptown, because we print everything.
Hello, fellow AM 950 listeners. This is Jaja from Nightingale at 26 in Lindale. Come experience our delicious signature dishes and exciting rotation of inventive seasonal fare for my wife and chef, Carrie, and her team. Nightingale is the perfect place to gather for any occasion, with our extensive wine, beer, and cocktail selection, along with our dedication to great service. We offer a full menu every day from 4 to 1 a.m., two award-winning daily happy hours, and weekend brunch at 10. More at nightingalempls.com.
And welcome back to the 4 o'clock Halloween edition of the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Good catch there, Eric, picking up a little Halloween music for us. Of course, always got to play Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good friend of mine who goes all out dressing as a Ghostbuster. He actually goes to conventions and gets paid to dress up as a Ghostbuster, which is pretty cool if you ask me.
Wow.
Yeah. He's working on actually getting his car remodeled to look like the actual, oh, I can't think of the name, like the Ghostbuster Mobile.
Yeah.
I think it's actually got a real name to
like
it.
Like a refurbished, really old, I don't know,
yeah,
it's a
exactly.
hearse? It's like a white hearse?
Yeah. But he really gets into it, and he's actually found a way to make a little money on the side, getting paid to do cosplay. But yeah, that's
does he have a team of other Ghostbusters?
He does, yeah. There's okay. actually quite an active community of Twin Cities cosplayers who dress up as Ghostbusters.
I was wondering who'd want to pay a single Ghostbuster.
Yeah. I'll just pay one Ghostbuster to
I'm
show up at my event. Yeah, yeah. We're a little too expensive to hire all four Ghostbusters. We're gonna take Egon. We don't want anyone else. Although I might actually have to go with Ray. I think he was my favorite Ghostbuster back in the day.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I was more of a fan of the cartoon, though. I kind of grew up watching that back in the 80s and 90s when they had the Ghostbusters cartoon on. Big fan of Slimer myself and also Ray. All right, let's get back into politics, though. So talking about how Hillary Clinton sent out this tweet last night saying, the world champion Washington Nationals should get statehood. Well, that would be, of course, D.C., not the Washington Nationals baseball team. But, hey, if they voted Democrat, hey, why not give them statehood, too, since the Senate is already unbalanced? But here's why I'm bringing this up, because unless or until you can actually get statehood for D.C. or actually balance out the Senate where Republicans don't have a built-in advantage, you're unfortunately going to end up getting stuck with people like this. Joe Manchin, who last night was on Fox News with Neil Cavuto, and he was talking about Bernie Sanders. Now, I'm going to go ahead and play this clip right now, and I'm not playing this just to trash Joe Manchin or say, oh my goodness, why is he saying this these sorts of things? But we're going to go ahead and play this clip right now. Here's Joe Manchin talking about Bernie Sanders on Neil Cavuto last night. Well, looks like I'm losing some of the clip here. Here, let's try it one more time. If not, I'll kind of paraphrase what he said. All right, so it looks like the audio's not going to quite work out on that. But at the end, he was actually asked a couple times by Neil Cavuto, would you vote for Bernie Sanders if he is the Democratic nominee? His first answer was, oh, I wouldn't vote for Bernie. So then Cavuto asked, well, does that mean you're voting for Trump? And he kind of stammered and stumbled over that, and he eventually came to the conclusion of saying, well, it depends who's on the ballot. So naturally, when I first heard this, I was very annoyed by the fact that we have a Democratic senator who isn't sure whether he would vote for someone like Bernie Sanders if he's the Democratic nominee. And I'm sure you kind of had the same reaction as me, Eric.
That he was willing to set in stone, well, I'm not voting for Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
I'll leave maybe a door open for voting for Trump, which
exactly.
surprises me that he even said that.
Yeah, he did phrase that in a really odd way where he didn't say, well, I'm slamming the door on Trump, but I'll leave the door open towards a Bernie Sanders, but still undecided on whether he would vote for him. Instead, he went, as you said, the complete opposite direction where he said, well, for sure I'm not going to vote for Bernie Sanders, but Donald Trump, I'm still a little undecided on this. So here's why I bring this up, and I know if you're listening out there, and especially if you're a Bernie Sanders supporter, you're probably not going to like me saying this, but what do you make out of the fact, let's say Bernie Sanders is the nominee, and he actually does end up winning the presidential election, and you have either a 51-49 or a 50-50 Senate. If someone like Joe Manchin decides, well, you know what, Bernie Sanders is too, and I'm going to use these in air quotes right here, too extreme for me, even though I don't think Bernie Sanders is really extreme, but in Joe Manchin's mind, if he is, and Joe Manchin says, you know what, I'm going to caucus with the Republicans now, and therefore actually give the Republicans in the Senate a majority, would that actually make you maybe even rethink voting for Bernie Sanders? I'm guessing on the surface, of course not, it wouldn't. It would still be worth having someone like Bernie in the White House, but the point I would bring up is that if you have the presidency but not the Senate, you're really at a pretty massive handicap with the inordinate amount of power that you actually get in the Senate. Since obviously in the Senate you can not only block legislation, but you can block cabinet members, and you can also block secretary nominees. You can block people who are trying to become judges, which is very, very important, not just at the Supreme Court level, but also at the appellate court level and also the district court level. So not saying that's necessarily the best reason to say, oh, you shouldn't vote for Bernie because Joe Manchin might go caucus with the Republicans, but it is something to at least think about in the meantime until we actually get a Senate that is actually reformed. Because heading into this election, I have kind of this unpopular opinion. In fact, I even had this opinion back in 2016. I said if I had this weird hypothetical scenario in my head where you had to choose, if you're a Democrat or even a Republican, your political party can only control one of the following two options, either the presidency or the Senate, I would say go for the Senate every single time for a couple of reasons. Because if you're the Senate, you can block all of those things I was just talking about, whether it's legislation, cabinet nominees, or judgeships, or any other types of things like that. Also, people who are trying to become secretaries of the different departments. And I think this is also most importantly, if you control the Senate and not the presidency, you kind of have a foil that you can work with, where if things go wrong, the president, fair or not, is always going to get blamed. And you can look at this historically when the Senate and the president have come from opposite sides of the party. In every election where that dynamic is in place, it's the president's party who always loses seats, not just in Congress, but more importantly at the state legislature and those local races. So it's one of those things where, yes, the presidency is probably the more sexy position to have, but the Senate actually gives you much more of an advantage. So going back to what we're talking about with Joe Manchin, yeah, obviously it's very disconcerting to hear that he would say, I'm not sure if I would vote for Bernie Sanders if he were the Democratic nominee, but I still think he is someone that's valuable to have in the Democratic Party just because he actually gives you one more vote for whoever is the majority leader, which in this case would be Chuck Schumer. And if your party controls the Senate, well, you can pretty much block anything the president can do, especially if they're from the opposite party. And if they are from the opposite party, well, then you kind of have that foil that you can work with. So what are your thoughts on this? 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205, because I get Joe Manchin, definitely not a popular person in the Democratic Party, but he is someone that I think is still well worth having because the Senate is structurally built against Democrats, where you are going to need some of these guys from red states who generally aren't going to vote for every liberal policy position or every liberal policy that's put out. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. And in fact, even as we were talking about on Tuesday's program, when you even look at some of the voting records of these blue dog Democrats, especially like a Colin Peterson, he's actually not quite as bad as he comes off. That was, I think, my potential campaign slogan for Colin Peterson. Not as bad as you think. And even Joe Manchin's record is actually much more conservative than Colin Peterson's, but he actually does come down on the correct side of a number of issues. But at least throwing that out there, because until the Senate is reformed, you're going to need people like Joe Manchin. Or in the House of Representatives, if you have gerrymandering, you're also going to need people like a Colin Peterson, who, by the way, of course, was one of two Democrats who voted against the impeachment resolution that was put through by the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. So we'll move on to the phone calls in just a second, because I want to hear what you think about this idea of having blue dog Democrats, because I think you almost actually do need them when you have a Senate that is structurally set up against you. We'll talk more about this in just a second, but first, let's move on to the news.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for October the 31st, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. Testimony from a senior White House official appears to contradict Energy Secretary Rick Perry's repeated denials that he never heard the Bidens discussed in connection to the administration's dealing with Ukraine. That from Salon. They report that Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, the top Ukrainian expert on the National Security Council, revealed in testimony to Congress that he twice reported Trump's pressure on Ukraine as a potential national security risk. Salon adds that key quotes referring to former President Joe Biden and Burisma, the Ukrainian firm whose board included Biden's son Hunter, were omitted from the partial transcript of Trump's July 25 call with the Ukrainian president. Nearly half of all renter households nationwide are now shelling out more than 30% of their income on rent. Nadia Ramlagan tells us that's according to a new report by Apartment List.
Housing economist Chris Salviati says this is the first time renter cost burden has increased since 2014.
This jump that we have seen over the past year, I think, does really speak to the worsening of the housing affordability issue. If you're following the 2020 primaries, you know, virtually all of the Democratic candidates now have plans that they've released to address the housing affordability crisis.
Salviati points to cities such as Boston, with lots of good high-paying jobs, but lacking the housing infrastructure needed to keep up with demand. He says cities across the country are experiencing similar growing pains.
The report also found that nationwide, the cost of median rent grew faster than renter income for the first time in nearly a decade. This is PNS.
As winter approaches, food shelves across Minnesota hope to take in loads of donated items to help people in need survive the colder months. But hunger-fighting advocates say cash donations are even more important these days. People who run the food shelves say money is sometimes the best way to give because client needs have changed. Colleen Moriarty is Executive Director of Hunger Solutions Minnesota. She says food banks are helping a lot of people who are working poor, so their locations need to be open later and on weekends.
That all takes, you know, money to turn the lights on and volunteers or paid staff to keep it going.
Hunger Solutions is responsible for distributing grants to food shelves across the state. Moriarty says when those locations submit expense reports, they often cite a struggle to meet operating costs since most of the grant money is spent on food. Another reason cash donations are important is that they allow food shelf customers to select items that meet their needs. Moriarty says with more money on hand, local pantries can establish programs that provide those specific items.
It used to be you got food in a bag, you know, when you went to a food shelf a long time ago, and some of it just wasn't appropriate for people who had special dietary needs or health challenges.
According to a 2017 Hunger Solutions Minnesota survey, 93% of respondents said they wanted more fruits and vegetables from food shelves. Moriarty says the recent trade wars have provided a boost in that regard. Farmers haven't had as big a foreign market, so the government has been purchasing surplus commodities, and more of those resources have made their way to food shelves. Mike Moen, Minnesota News Connection.
I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.
Finding a lawyer is incredibly stressful. It can be tough to know where to start. So start with the Hennepin County Bar Association. They can connect you with over 200 thoroughly vetted, qualified attorneys practicing in over 50 areas of law. Not sure if you need an attorney or what type of attorney to request? The referral counselors at Hennepin County Bar Association can help. Call 612-752-6666 or search for Hennepin County Bar Association. The right call for the right lawyer.
This is Chad, owner of AM950. Our station has worked with Barbara from WYSIWYG Web Design for years on everything from logo to print design and especially for developing our website. She does great work and is great to work with, listening to what our goals and design ideas were while offering new, innovative ideas to create the website we are proud of today. Barbara made sure she understood our station, our goals, and our mission before she started working on our site and made suggestions to help control the cost. Plus, she's friendly, which set us at ease. I recommend Barbara at WYSIWYG Web Design because I know she will deliver an attractive, professional website within the budget you have. She is a local independent business that specializes in helping other local businesses achieve their website and design goals. She can work with nearly any budget and create anything from simple sites to robust custom functionality. To find out more about the company AM950 Trust, go to WYSIWYGWebDesign.com. Spelled out just like it sounds, WYSIWYGWebDesign.com.
With your AM950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Tonight, a 20% chance of snow with a low around 27. Friday, snow may continue, gradually becoming rain with a high near 40 and a low around 27. Saturday will be partly cloudy with a high of 39 and a low of 28.
Don't miss the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday only at the Maple Grove Community Center, featuring up to 150 home improvement companies, giveaways, and more. It's the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday at the Maple Grove Community Center. See it all at expoguys.com. That's expoguys.com.
They played the Monster Mash.
What would radio show be on Halloween without playing the Monster Mash? There you go. By the way, do you have to say snow in the forecast? Can't you just call it sleet? I don't think we're going to see any accumulation on
that. Solid rain.
Yeah, yeah. Just you got to go for that shock value when you do the weather forecast and say snow and just freak everyone out. There you go. 952-946-6205. Talking about this idea of blue dog Democrats in both the House of Representatives and also the Senate. The question being, what's the point of having them part of the Democratic Party? People like a Colin Peterson or someone like a Joe Manchin in the Senate. Well, to me, it's because they get you potentially the majority, whether that's the House getting the House majority or getting the Speaker of the House or the Senate getting the Senate majority leader, especially on the Senate side. It actually gets you the ability to not only block legislation, but also block a lot of these cabinet and also judgeships. I mean, imagine the first 3.5 years of the Trump administration if we had a Democratic Senate. We probably would not have seen Gorsuch or Kavanaugh get placed on the Supreme Court. All of these district judges that have been appointed to the federal court system and appellate judges, Trump is on pace for approving them at a record pace. Probably would have seen half that number, even if that at that point, and at least they would have been a little bit more qualified than what they are now. In fact, shared this on the AM 950 Facebook page. The Onion sometimes nails it, but they ran a satirical article about how Mitch McConnell was asking pool boys and these guys who were parking attendants at one of these conservative research centers if they would like to serve as a judgeship, since they're just trying to look for, well, basically anyone to become a judge at this point. But that's kind of what I'm talking about. If you actually had a Democratic Senate, Trump's agenda would have been completely blocked altogether.
Yeah, but sure, in your hypothetical, though, then if you didn't have control of the Senate, you would have a Democratic president also. So Trump wouldn't be able to do those things because Trump wouldn't be there in the hypothetical you're proposing.
Yeah, there's still a scenario, yeah, that could have happened in 16. It wasn't likely, and I would admit in 2020 it's probably also not likely where you would have Trump get reelected and then a Democratic Senate. Yeah, I would grant you it's very unlikely that could happen. Yeah.
It sounded like you're saying either or.
Oh, sure, yeah. I'm talking, if Trump was still elected, yeah, but you had a Democratic Senate, yeah, a lot of his agenda could actually have been blocked and he largely would have been a lame duck president. Of course, we're still talking complete hypotheticals. And one other major variable in this, which is Chuck Schumer, who is one of the more spineless Democrats that we have in Congress. Certainly no guarantee that he would have been someone like a Mitch McConnell who would just say, my top goal is to make Trump a one-term president. But he still at least would have been an improvement over having Mitch McConnell as the Senate Majority Leader. So going to what I'm saying, yeah, I'm okay actually with having blue dog Democrats because – if they are coming from somewhere that is typically a very Republican area, then yeah, let them in the party. But obviously, if you're talking about like a Colin Peterson and they're coming from a suburban district like CD2 or 3 here in the Twin Cities, then yeah, I would definitely have a problem with that because you could probably find better representation than a Colin Peterson. But if he's in CD7, which is very rural, yeah, absolutely have no problem with him. And same with even Joe Manchin in West Virginia. Because Democrats are at a structural disadvantage in the Senate simply because of the way it's set up, where basically representation is determined by geography and not population. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to Frank in Mendota Heights. Hi there, Frank. What is on your mind today?
Hello. So you are suggesting that we should have a moderate presidential candidate so that we don't alienate the blue dogs?
No, not necessarily
that.
No, not at all. I'm just throwing that out there that if it does come down to a 50-50, yeah, it probably wouldn't be the best thing in the world. And that's a reason why we actually do need to reform the Senate and give a place like Washington, D.C. statehood so we don't come down to this scenario that hopefully doesn't happen where you get a progressive president like a Bernie Sanders or an Elizabeth Warren or someone else, and then all of a sudden you have a 50-50 Senate and good old Joe Manchin decides, oh, I'm going to become a Republican now, and now the Democratic agenda is pretty much gone down the tube. So, yeah, my bigger point is that's why you ultimately need to reform the Senate.
Well, they could always, you know, switch. That's always been kind of a problem if they think that that's a path to power or whatever they're looking for. But we had a moderate candidate in 2016, and we didn't get the Senate back. We didn't get the House back.
Oh, absolutely right.
Even though
right.
she won by a lot of votes, that didn't work because we didn't pull people out. They weren't enthusiastic. I mean, it didn't have the excitement. Remember when Jesse? I don't know if you're old enough to remember when Jesse Ventura ran. That really woke a lot of people up. They went, well, this is something different. I actually have someone to vote for. Someone who's not just giving me the old party talking points. You know, that can work a lot to our advantage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Minnesota, Bernie won 61% to 38 for Hillary. You know, that's, we need to have a lot of people to come out to vote that don't usually vote, or we cannot get the Senate back.
Mm-hmm.
If we just get the same number of people, we're not going to get anything.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And you're talking about, yeah, the much bigger issue of who can even win the presidency in the first place, where you're talking about it's more about voter enthusiasm than whether you're more of a centrist who's going to try to peel over a few Republicans to actually vote for you. And I largely would agree with you on that.
Which they don't.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't really do that. So, No, I would say that saying that we don't want to have an inspiring candidate. Right now, we have a radical right-wing president.
Mm-hmm.
A radical right-wing. Why can't the Democrats go back to FDR? I mean, that's not radical in American history. It was necessary, and it's necessary now.
Mm-hmm. At the time, he certainly wasn't perceived as that radical. And even when you look at some of the things he actually was able to get passed, they actually end up, well, polling pretty well, things like Medicare, Social Security. All right, thanks so much for the call there, Frank. Yeah, my larger point is that let's get a place like D.C. statehood or even Puerto Rico or somehow reform the Senate. So ultimately, if you did get a progressive, someone who's more progressive than Democrats we've had in the past, like a Hillary Clinton or a Barack Obama, Bill Clinton. Hillary, of course, was never president. You at least don't run into this scenario where you have a 50-50 Senate and all of a sudden one senator can cross over and your agenda's completely gone. So that's, I think, ultimately the solution. But in the meantime, you can't also just tell Joe Manchin, you didn't vote in a certain way. You're kicked out of the Democratic Party, because that's certainly not going to play to your advantage as well. But, yeah, I also get you don't want to placate the guy and just say, that means we need to make John Delaney the nominee or someone moderate like that, rather than one of the more traditional Democratic candidates. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll continue with these phone calls, but in a few minutes, I want to move on and talk about what the Minnesota Republican Party did in terms of not actually allowing any other candidates except Donald Trump on the presidential primary ballot here in Minnesota, because this is what I have a major problem with, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, the fact that you're actually restricting the ballot. And it turns out you can very much legally do this. There's no actual statute that says that if someone, for example, is getting a certain percentage of the vote in polls or has this many signatures on a petition, can work their way onto a primary ballot in Minnesota. The decision actually ultimately comes down to the party itself, and the Republican Party chairwoman, Jennifer Carnahan, has gone out and said, we only want Donald Trump and no one else to be on the Minnesota presidential primary ballot. So we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes, but we will head back to the phone lines right now. If we can go to let's go to Brenda in Carver. Brenda, what is on your mind today?
All right. Well, you mentioned one of the things that I thought about was Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
They should become a state. They've been a province of the United States for many.
Oh, looks like we just lost you there, Brenda. Feel free to call on back. Yeah, we got some full phone lines there, so Eric's doing his best there to run the board. We don't have one of those advanced phone systems you get at some of the bigger radio stations, so yeah, Eric's doing his best to work those in there. But keep those calls coming. Even if you happen to head to a voicemail, you can call on back, and hopefully we'll have an open line. But yeah, along the lines of what Brenda, I think, was saying was that she thinks Puerto Rico needs statehood, and I completely agree with her. I would say D.C., you probably have a better chance to get in, since it's already within the contiguous United States, and you would probably have a better chance of getting that passed than Puerto Rico. But yes, ultimately, I think, yeah, you should definitely get Puerto Rico in. I'll go back to the phone lines in just a second, as we're still trying to get those cleared out. So again, if you're calling and it goes to voicemail, just feel free to call back at 952-946-6205. Another solution to review something that we talked about, I think it was in the spring or summer, is that if you actually create a state out of a state, you only need a majority approval from Congress and the local state legislature. So I was suggesting the idea, let's take California. Well, if California is annoyed that they have 39 times the population of Idaho, but yet the same number of senators at Ohio, California, if you actually had a majority of Democrats in the House and the Senate, you could, in theory, get this passed constitutionally where you could divide up California into, let's say, three or four separate states. Then all of a sudden, California is being represented by 6, 8, or 10 senators. It's not actually that difficult to do, because if you're carving up a state from within a state, it's much easier than trying to admit an entirely new state, which would be the case with Puerto Rico, where I think you would actually need like 3/4 of the legislatures from around the country and like 2/3 of actually congressional approval. But if you're creating a state out of a state, then you just need a simple majority in the state legislature and also in Congress. All right, let's go to the phone lines and talk to Mark in Fridley. Hey there, Mark. What are you thinking today?
Hey, guys. Well, you recognize that last Friday was the 17th anniversary of the death of Paul Wellstone.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul Wellstone was progressive when it wasn't cool. And he said the Democratic Party has lost much of its credibility and, with working class and low-income people. It retards it retards progress towards presenting a genuine alternative. And so what you're arguing, and Joe Manchin was on Fox News?
Yeah, it was with Neil Cavuto.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what Bernie Sanders just said yesterday. I want to convert the Democratic Party to break its dependency on big money and corporate interests and make it a party of working class people, of young people, of all people who believe in justice. Joe Manchin jumped ship. Hillary Clinton, it's time to keep your mouth shut, okay? There were people, I was one of them, who said she was unelectable. This should be going into the second or third year of the Bernie Sanders administration. Right now, we wouldn't have to worry about the court system. We wouldn't have to worry about the wars had not that process been stolen from him and us. And what here's what we get. Now, this wasn't reported in the news because Democrats, corporate Democrats, like Nancy Pelosi, just passed legislation, and it was called H.R. 3, the Lower Drug Cost Now Act of 2019. There were two versions of this bill. The progressive version, which actually lowered the price of medications, and the corporate big pharma, corporate Democrat bill that they passed. One of the people that proposed an alternative was a guy, Lloyd Doggett, a Democrat from Texas. And he said that the chances that the typical patient will see their prices lowered are akin to winning the lottery. The House bill did promise to lower prices. Do you know when?
When was
that? H.R. 3, it would take the government over 100 years to negotiate lower prices for all of the prescription drugs covered by Medicare. That's the bill the corporate Democrats just passed. But you know what? They get to go in front of the cameras and say, we passed legislation to lower prescription drug costs. They don't tell you it's going to take 100 years.
So this was the bill that Pelosi helped pass earlier this year, correct?
Yes.
Wow, 100 years, yeah. And none of us that are sitting here right now are going to be around when conceivably that could happen. So, hey, Mark, thanks so much for the call.
I'll send you a copy of this and you can post it on the website.
All right.
Because we need to get away from corporate I don't care what Joe Manchin says. Jump ship.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks so much for the call there, Mark. Yeah, I did not know that it took over 100 years. I knew there was a lot of progressive opposition to the bill, and she had put in some provisions to try to placate some of the progressive concerns. But, yeah, if it still takes 100 years to actually lower those prices in a meaningful way, maybe not the best piece of legislation. All right, let's go to Randy in Coon Rapids, who wants to talk about Donald Trump winning Minnesota in 2020. And, Randy, I'm going to propose a trade-off to you in just a second, but let's go to your thoughts first about why Trump is going to win Minnesota, you think.
Well, you know, I like Mark, and a lot of times I think he makes, you know, some pretty good sense, but I think Bernie's pretty much all burnt out at this point, and I just, the odds are a better chance of becoming president than Bernie. And it's interesting listening to the Democrats, and it just sounds like you know, a lot of desperation. Oh, we should divide California into, you know, multiple different sections, and we should do all these things.
Is that any more extreme, though, than gerrymandering of Republicans in 2010?
Well,
I mean, if you've seen some of the districts that are drawn, where basically you have something that's like a district that looks like an hourglass, where the little skinny part is basically just the length of a freeway, I don't see how that's any more extreme than dividing up California into four separate states.
Well, I think a lot of that, the gerrymandering, the dividing California up, all that, that's just all corruption and politics from both sides trying to get desperation to try to win. And realistically, it'll be nice just to see Donald Trump in there for another 4 years, because I think we're going to get four more phenomenal years like the four we've already had. If you went and listed all the accomplishments we've had and how the economy's doing.
So let's tackle that for a second. Can you list what specific parts of the economy are booming?
What part?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's more black people working today than ever in the history of the United States of America. There are more Hispanics working. You go, I mean, think back to even when the Republicans and the Democrats were in office. It was totally the opposite way. Nobody can find employees anymore, which is great for the worker, because now if you don't like your job, if you're not making enough money, you can go get a job. If you're breathing, you can get a job anywhere. You couldn't do that under Barack Obama. You couldn't do that under George Bush. You couldn't do that under many
presidents. What kinds of jobs is it that they're getting? Are these good paying jobs, in your opinion?
You know, the beauty of this is a lot of them are your low paying jobs. And you want to know why they can't get nobody there? Because all the people that were there have now gotten better jobs, making more money. So now we need a lot more people to filter in to the low paying jobs. And it's just awesome to see people actually working. The lowest unemployment rate, think of how many years it's been since you've seen unemployment as low as it has. And think about the things, you know, I know Donald Trump doesn't got the best tweets, and, you know, some of his ways about how he says things and how he does it. But I think with Donald Trump, a lot of it is, it's in your face and it's real, it's realistic. And maybe a lot of people are like, well, we can't really talk like that.
All right, Randy, we've got to wrap things up here since I do have to head to the break. But you do get the unemployment rate is not really a good indicator of how the economy is doing as a whole. It was not a good indicator under the Obama administration. It was not a good indicator under the Bush administration. And this idea that, yeah, those jobs are available because all of a sudden people are getting better jobs. Well, you just got to actually look at wage growth in this country. And, of course, also the amount that expenses have gone up as well. So, not quite sure I'm buying that. Let's take one more break and finish up the show, because we still do have a couple more phone callers, including Jennifer in Stillwater. So, Jennifer, hang on the phone lines. I know she wants to talk about Joe Manchin. We'll get to her in just a second, as well as a couple other stories to wrap up the show.
Then you can monster mash.
Hey, this is Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me from bradblog.com. Join me and Desi Doyen weeknights on AM 950 at 7 p.m. for the Bradcast. 1 hour of interviews, analysis, news, and snark that you need, but you won't get from anywhere else. Join me for the Bradcast with Brad Friedman.
And me, Desi Doyen.
Whatever. Right here, Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. And right now, get your first online visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. Sure beats paying for an in-office doctor's appointment, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need to deal with awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe the medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. FORHIMS.com/joy.
Place called
And welcome back to the 4 o'clock show. Just a few minutes left on the program, again, to talk about some news that happened over today. Of course, the Republican Party in Minnesota has announced no other candidate except Donald Trump will be allowed on their presidential primary ballot, something I have a massive problem with, especially on the Republican side. But even if it were the Democrats doing this as well, that's just not a good look at all, because I often tell people, if you're not happy with the two major candidates that you can vote for in terms of the presidency, then what did you do in the primary? Well, if the political party, let's say in this case the Republicans, isn't even giving you a choice, yeah, then I kind of get your frustration. That's not a good sign to actually give no choices in a presidential primary whatsoever.
I mean, it's pretty rare that a choice is given in a primary for an interim president, right?
Yeah, or you could at least write someone in. That's the part that really gets me, is that they don't even have a write-in available.
Well, I mean, but it's normally not if there's a president who's going up for re-election.
Not necessarily. I even looked back at this. We'll go to Jennifer in just a second. But even Barack Obama in 2008, he actually only got 88% of the delegates. 12% of people still voted for someone else, even though there weren't any other major party people. That was actually the same when Bush ran for re-election in 2004. So, yeah, obviously they were in no threat of losing the nomination, but you could still at least voice your opinion for going for someone else. Or in the case of what happened in Minnesota, 3% of the population in 2012 just said they were going to be uncommitted to any candidate whatsoever. And for the Republicans here in Minnesota, not even an option. It's Trump or nobody. All right, let's go to Jennifer before we wrap up the show. Jennifer, just got about a minute left. What's on your mind?
Hi, guys. Happy Halloween. I just wanted to say that, yeah, Joe Manchin, you know, he's not representing the people of West Virginia at all. Bernie Sanders won West Virginia 51% to Hillary's 35%. So the people of West Virginia voting Democrat, they wanted Bernie's policies. So as usual, Joe does not represent them. Also, Joe Manchin voted to fund the border wall. Joe Manchin voted to defund Planned Parenthood. Joe Manchin is anti-choice. Joe Manchin voted more than 60% of the time.
Yeah, I was just going to bring up his Trump score. Yeah,
and
which,
that's more than any other, you know, bad Democrat. He was the worst in the whole
Jennifer,
Senate.
I am just running out of time. Thanks for bringing up that stat, though. Actually, even higher than Colin Peterson's score of 20. But ultimately, if he's still what helps Democrats get a majority, leave him in the party. All right, that's all the time we have on the program. I'll talk to you tomorrow.